Good morning for Wednesday, December 2nd, 2009. This is Brian Madden. Today we're talking about virtual desktops, of course, and specifically, is it necessary in a virtual desktop environment to pay $30 or whatever for antivirus or these other client security suites? I mean, the basic question, this question came in an email from a reader, was, you know, a big advantage of desktop virtualization is better security and better lockdown. So, you know, I'm paying this money to companies like Symantec and McAfee now to have with these client security suites on all my desktops. So if I virtualize everything, is that money that that I can save? I think it's a great question and something that we're going to take a look at today. You know, people who read the website often know that my background is consulting, and so I'm always very quick to give an answer of, it depends. And, you know, in this case, I'm going to say it depends also. You know, it depends on both how you define desktop virtualization, but also how you define the client security suite. I mean, desktop virtualization is easier to define for us, I guess, since that's what we do every day. But really, I think in the context of security, we should look at desktop virtualization in sort of two buckets. The first is going to be desktops that are hosted in the data center, so whether that's a VDI or you know, terminal server. And then let's look at desktops that are hosted on the client machines directly, or desktops that run on client machines, whether that's with a client hypervisor or a Type 2 VMM or stream to bare metal or whatever. So we're going to look at desktop virtualization from two standpoints. Now, these client security suites, though, this is actually a bit more complex. I mean, in the old days, it was just antivirus, right? And then we started adding in, you know, anti-malware and anti-spyware and, you know, email scanning, rootkit, client firewalls, device control, application control, all of this kind of stuff. And if you look at the, again, you know, I'm pointing out kind of the Symantec and McAfee suites, they're full of all these kind of things. So I think really what we need to do is look at each of our two desktop scenarios, you know, the data center desktops and the client desktops, and really just kind of step through each of the types of capabilities that these security products have and just see what's relevant. So that said, let's first take a look at virtual desktops that are running in the data center. I think desktops in the data center, at least from a client security perspective, we can probably think of these in the same ways that we think about terminal server desktops, right? So obviously they're not exactly the same, but I mean, you know, in terms of what we do, take antivirus, for example. Obviously, we need to have antivirus at some point, somewhere in our infrastructure. You know, if we have a secure perimeter, we're doing scanning at the firewall level, we're doing scanning, I don't know if it's a remote hosted desktop, maybe we're disabling client drive mapping, we're disabling client, you know, CD-ROMs and client USB sticks and everything, so there's no way to get anything in there. Maybe we're also running antivirus software that's scanning our storage system so that users' files are scanned. You know, if we're running antivirus at that level and we feel good securing the perimeter, then we can probably get away without running antivirus in our individual VMs. This is something, though, that really whatever you do in your terminal server environment probably is okay in your virtual desktop environment as well. The same, I guess, could be said about, you know, antivirus today now also really includes anti-spyware and anti-malware sort of all together. What is interesting, though, is I guess when we're talking about antivirus, we have to talk about, I guess, the difference between if you're virtual desktops are persistent or non-persistent. That is it, you know, one image that everyone is sharing that's being blown away every night, or is it that each user has their own image and can make and save changes? Tim Mangan actually had a great blog post about 2 or 3 months ago on brianmadden.com addressing this exact topic, so I don't want to go too much in depth to it, but basically what Tim and the conversation around that was saying is, you know, just because you use non-persistent disk images, that is, just because your disk images are blown away every night, that doesn't necessarily mean you can get away with using no antivirus software. Because, of course, a lot of viruses today are sort of peer-to-peer viruses, or you know, this whole anti-spyware thing. You want to make sure that you don't get stuff downloaded. Sure, it's gone when they you know, come in the next day, but we want to make sure that nothing can get onto the computer, you know, sort of during that session. So Now, again, that doesn't really change your antivirus strategy. It means you need antivirus somewhere, whether it's running in your VM or at the perimeter. What that means, though, is that you do need the antivirus regardless of whether you're persistent or non-persistent. Moving on, as far as what these security capabilities are, there's rootkit protection. I don't know if this is something necessarily you need to seek out on its own, although I guess that's built into a lot of the antivirus stuff these days. So if you get it, you know, might as well use it. I'm not exactly sure how relevant, though, that is if you're using, everything's on a hypervisor in your data center. One of the other capabilities that these vendors are doing now is device control. And so this is the capability with your client software to sort of specify, like, locking down USB ports, locking down, you know, CD-ROMs, and what users are and are not allowed to do. The cool thing is, if your desktops are running in your data center, then you already have this device control capability either with your virtual desktop product or at the protocol level, at the policy level. So this device control absolutely is something that's important, but you don't have to go specifically seeking it out from your desktop security vendor. It's something you should have built in already to your VDI solution. The same actually can be said about application lockdown. So of course, Windows itself has software restriction policies and a lot of built-in capabilities. There's a good chance if you have a VDI environment of any great size, you already have some kind of user environment management, like maybe something from Res or AppSense or Triceret or whatever. So you probably already have the capability to specifically lock down what users are and are not able to do. Again, to the extent that that needs to be locked down is depending on kind of whether you're using persistent or one-to-one. If it's the persistent disk images that users are saving each night, then probably you're not locking down the specifics of what they can do within that session. The other thing that's kind of cool about VDI, I guess, is if you choose not to enable an application lockdown solution, even if you're blowing away your disk images every night, since each user does have their own VM, if one user totally screws up their own environment, then you just blow it away and start over again, and they don't take down other users. So you really only need to think about application lockdown in the context of what they could do sort of that would be bad externally. But again, I don't know that that's necessarily something you have to go seek out on your own or on its own, because that's probably built into whatever else you're doing. The personal firewall, this is the one, man, running the personal firewall for VDI with a data center hosted desktop. Honestly, I can't imagine that it makes too much of a difference either way. And on this, I'm actually very curious to hear what your thoughts are. My sense is that enabling personal firewalls is actually going to lead to more headaches down the road, just more help desk calls and things not working. If we're talking about users who are on data center based desktops, this means they're all behind the corporate firewall anyway, then kind of why bother? Then again, on the other hand, if you did get one of those sort of peer-to-peer viruses that got through the corporate firewall or came from within, then that could wreak havoc. And if you're running personal firewalls on each of your VMs, then maybe that could kind of save it. I guess the good news with personal firewalls, though, is even though these are built into all of the client security suites that are out there, obviously it's also built into Windows. And so, you can policy control it and everything. So if you do want personal firewall, turn it on, but that's not something you have to pay extra money for. The bottom line, so everything we've been talking about so far has been desktops in the data center. I think the bottom line there is antivirus. I mean, absolutely has to be in at some level. Everything else, I'm not sure it's quite as important. Now, so let's shift gears and look at virtual desktops that are running on client devices themselves. And I guess even in this case, we can kind of subdivide this into a couple categories. I mean, a virtual desktop that's running on a desktop PC that will always be within the four walls of the corporation is very different than a virtual desktop that's running on a laptop that could be connected from who knows where. Frankly, virtual desktops running on a PC within the corporation, I guess in a lot of ways, that's actually no different than your data center hosted desktop. So as you go through each of these, you can sort of take a consideration for antivirus and spyware and rootkit and those kinds of things on a one-by-one. When you're talking about, though, virtual desktops that are running on mobile laptops that can be taken anywhere, and again, maybe this is with a client hypervisor, maybe this is with a Type 2 VMM like a Mocha 5 or a RingCube or Fusion or Workstation or Ace or whatever that's going to be. Boy, this is kind of getting more crazy, and this is more towards the Wild West, and this is where I guess a lot of people are using desktop virtualization on clients specifically to address a lot of the security needs. So just kind of moving through these different capabilities that are offered from these client security suites. I mean, first of all, antivirus, anti-spyware, anti-malware. Yes, absolutely. You got to have that on the device itself, because obviously if you're outside the firewall, then who knows what it is. The rootkit protection, you know, again, I'm not sure that this really matters. I guess it doesn't hurt. It kind of depends, again, on what your use case is. You know, is it a type 1 client hypervisor versus type 2 VM? The device control gets kind of interesting, though, once you're talking about client devices, because I guess really to frame the understanding of device control, you have to think about what you're actually trying to protect. So, I mean, thinking about this right now, I think every single client VM scenario that could be type 1, type 2, whatever, has some kind of capability built in for device control. The idea being you've got your corporate VM that's what you want to protect. So, you know, if it's a type 2, then, you know, you probably don't care about what's plugged into the underlying host OS. You almost treat the host OS as some unsecure thing, and you just want to run this protection at the VM level. But again, you don't really need a third-party client management security product for that, because it's, you know, your VMM is letting you do that. Or even if it's a type 1 hypervisor on the client, you know, that is going to be the policy level where things are controlled. So you're going to get that from your hypervisor. You don't have to pay extra money for that. The same is true, I guess, for application lockdown. You know, and frankly, in this case, application lockdown, whatever you're doing in your data center hosted desktops probably applies to the desktops that are running the VMs out in the field. You know, data center lockdown application lockdown is probably something that is addressed really in the architecture. So it depends, you know, do you need to lock down the applications? It depends if you're using persistent or non-persistent images, depends on how your applications are being delivered. But I would think that if you do want to lock down the specifics of what can happen within a VM, that's not going to be something that you are looking to a client security suite to handle. That's something you're handling elsewhere. Personal firewall, I think it's pretty clear this is going to be mandatory, again, much like antivirus, for portable devices. Although here, again, you have some specific choice as to where it's implemented depending on the specific architecture you choose. So, for example, if you have a client hypervisor, then, you know, that client hypervisor is going to own the NIC and it's going to handle all the firewall duties. If you're running a corporate VM on a Type 2 environment, sort of on an unmanaged host, then I'd say that the firewall you want to enable at the Type 2 VMM level, and whether the actual host has a firewall or not, kind of you don't care about. So again, I think this is something that your desktop virtualization software can handle. It's not something you specifically need to go sort of seek out from a client security vendor. So, you know, kind of final thoughts. Yeah, it's just a whole lot of it depends. But really, it's true. You know, if you want to boil everything down into one quick little tweetable nugget, I'd say, you know, antivirus is critical everywhere. The rest you can probably design around, but the real sort of answer depends on going through these things kind of one by one. I want to close the conversation today with a couple random thoughts about virtual desktop client security in general, and these are some things that I felt were important to put in the article today, but I didn't really feel like where they fit in. So first of all, a couple of important, you know, these random things. If you don't plan on running antivirus software in your VM, be sure to at least run a scan against your master disk image before you seal it up. I mean, I guess actually that's a good advice regardless of whether you're running AV inside or not. But this is something that Gabe is a big proponent of, is, you know, making sure that you don't put out a master image that has been compromised already. The second thing, just to reiterate, and going back to what Tim was posting, is that non-persistent disk images can still suffer from these day zero problems. So just because you can easily blow away and refresh a disk image doesn't mean you can completely ignore security altogether. And again, I actually need to quote Gabe here, because he says, quote, "Non-persistent is a good method for dealing with bad things once you've been screwed, but it does nothing to prevent you from getting screwed in the first place." The third kind of random final thought is, we are still hoping for some kind of VM safe-like API so that we can run these various security suites at the hypervisor level, either at the server level hypervisor with VDI or at the client hypervisor. But for now, this isn't really there. So if you want AV, if you want client security within a VM, you're going to have to run that in each VM. There's no kind of virtual appliance that can reach inside and do those. And finally, just something, you know, I'm an old school terminal server person, and I want to remind you that the best security for terminal server, these simple things also apply to desktop virtualization, is that probably 99% of all of your security threats can be eliminated for free by, one, not letting your users run with admin rights, and two, by removing the execute permissions from the user's temp folders and home drives. Removing execute permissions from the temp folders means you can't have users executing stuff they get as email attachments. You can't have things being executed that they downloaded from the internet. Just removing that execute right can solve a lot of security problems. So that's it. I'm curious of your thoughts. You know, did we cover everything here? Is there anything we're missing? Are you running any of these client security suites for your existing physical desktops? And if so, are you planning on porting them to your virtual desktop environments? As always, please join the conversation at brianmadden.com, and we are always interested in hearing your thoughts. Thank you so much.